In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, in the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, you are always more ready to hear than we are to pray, and you gladly give more than we either desire or deserve. Pour upon us your abundant mercy. Forgive us those things that weigh on our conscience, and give us those good things that come only through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
A reading from Genesis. Then the Lord said, "How great is the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah, and how very grave their sin. I must go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me, and if not, I will know." So the men turned from there and went toward Sodom, while Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham came near and said, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not forgive it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just?" And the Lord said, "If I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will forgive the whole place for their sake." Abraham answered, "Let me take it upon myself to speak to the Lord, I who am but dust and ashes. Suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for the lack of 5? And he said, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there." Again, he spoke to him, "Suppose 40 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." Then he said, "Oh, do not let the Lord be angry if I speak. Suppose 30 are found there." He answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." He said, "Let me take it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "Oh, do not let the Lord be angry if I speak just once more. Suppose 10 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." The word of the Lord. We will read the psalm responsively. Please read the bold print. "I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise." When I called, you answered me. You increased my strength within me. They will sing of the ways of the Lord, that great is the glory of the Lord. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you keep me safe. You stretch forth your hand against the fury of my enemies. Your right hand shall save me. A reading from Colossians. As you therefore have received Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes your captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have come to fullness in him, who is the head of every ruler and authority. In him also you were circumcised with spiritual circumcision by putting off the body of the flesh in the circumcision of Christ. When you were buried with him in baptism, you were also raised with him through faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in trespass and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with him, when he forgave us all our trespasses, erasing the record that stood against us with its legal demands. He set this aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and made a public example of them, triumphing over them in it. Therefore, do not let anyone condemn you in the matters of food and drink, or of observing festivals, new moons, or Sabbaths. These are only a shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Do not let anyone disqualify you, insisting on self-abasement and worship of angels, dwelling on visions, puffed up without cause by a human way of thinking, and not holding fast to the head from whom the whole body, nourished and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows with a growth that is from God. The word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.' And he said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived and I have nothing to set before him." And he answers from within, "Do not bother me. The door has already been locked and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and for everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, you will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord. Be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Of all the words that would deem to be a dirty word in our society, I would never imagine prayer to be one of them. There seems to be a trend where people prefer to offer and request for thoughts and vibes as opposed to prayer. It's not completely out of line because of the way the word prayer has been used. It's been given a hollow meaning. For some time, the phrase thoughts and prayers has been nothing more than a platitude for some, which is precisely how it's become a dirty word in some circles in our society. The concept of prayer has been abused and weaponized. If tragedy strikes or we experience a tragedy, something that we don't want in a given situation, there are some that have said that it's your fault. You didn't have enough faith, or you didn't pray hard enough. That's how people are pushing back or resisting the word prayer. It's one of the many reasons. A theme that we see in our lessons today is that prayer and persistence can not only change things, but can seemingly change God's mind. What is the purpose of prayer? Is it to change God, or does prayer change us? Those questions in itself can be problematic if we don't get to the heart of it all. On the one hand, God is not some kind of cosmic vending machine. See, we see these themes in our lessons today of prayer and persistence and the prospect that God can change God's mind, and then we find ourselves hoping we can get God to do what we want. That line of thinking is rooted in my will be done. It's not a biblical or Christian concept, by the way. It also provides a passive approach to life in thinking that God will take care of everything, never realizing that there are times where you can be the answer to your own prayer. This is the kind of magical thinking that people are rejecting when turned off by the word prayer in our society. On the other hand, thinking that prayer only changes us does nothing more than saying that we should just be resigned to whatever life throws our way, that we should use prayer solely to develop a thicker skin to whatever life offers us to endure. What Jesus is teaching us when it comes to prayer is to remember that we are in relationship with a loving parent, that God is our Father, and the foundation of prayer is communication grounded in a trusting relationship with this loving parent. But our arrogance gets the best of us. If we don't get what we want, why bother? If what happens is just inevitable, why bother? That's what Steve Albertson points out here. He says, why bother to pray if everything is set in stone anyway? Why bother to pray if we can never be sure that we have said the right words or with the right passion? Why bother if the cancer still kills, the rain never comes, or the marriage still crumbles? Truth be told, we're tired of praying when the God who promises to listen never seems to hear the pleas from our lips. With this conclusion, we are exposed for the evil folks we are, referencing verse 13 in Luke's gospel today. All we asked for was what we wanted. Isn't that what prayer is supposed to do for us? Of course we know what God thinks of such arrogance. God is love. And our God is not silent. We may feel that God is silent at times in our lives, but God continues to speak even in those times when we do not hear God. When God speaks to us through word and sacrament, the good news that God conveys to us each and every time we gather around word and sacrament is, I love you. The good news is that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. If you look at Romans 8, when we're assured of that, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Romans 8 doesn't say you're going to get everything you want. It doesn't say everything's going to go your way. It actually prepares you for all the things in this world that can come your way, But none of that, not even death itself, can separate you from this loving relationship that we have with the living God. Our God is not silent or absent, but still speaking to us and is always with us. When we pray, and it feels like the inevitable will still happen, that still does not have the final word. When Jesus was crucified and laid in the tomb was sealed shut, and we thought Jesus would remain silent forever, that fate was set in stone. But the gift and promise of the resurrection has broken through. Prayer is not a one-way communication. Prayer is a conversation between us and God. And in dying on the cross, God has spoken to the world loud and clear. The love of God knows no bounds. God's love is for all people. God's love is for you and me. Even in our arrogance, sinfulness, and brokenness, God's love is for you and me, and God's love still pursues us. God seeks to constantly remind us of this love and wants to wrap us in it. Prayer is a conversation with a loving parent. Prayer is not something we have to do. It is something that, or nor is it something that involves a magic formula to help us get it right. Prayer is a conversation with the divine. And it is God who got the conversation started. We belong to God, and God wants us to always remember that this is the truth that we cling to. That we belong to God and all the promises that are attached with it. The Lord's Prayer is a gift that takes the burden off the idea that we need to get prayer right. We're now free from the stress of needing to have the right formula. Because God doesn't need our words to be effective. God just wants us to reach out. God wants us to trust and place our faith in the living God. In our gospel lesson, we have that image of persistence. We continue to be persistent in this conversation. We give up too easy when we reduce prayer to being something of just getting what we want or just about being resigned to the inevitable. Keep persisting to see what God has in store for you. Keep searching, keep knocking. One door might be closed, but another door might be open. Keep searching for the ways God is still speaking to you to see where the blessings are, even in the midst of the turmoil that you're confronted with in life. It is with this understanding, it's not about getting what we want. It's not with that notion that people throw out there that you've heard people say, well, you know, thy will be done. You know, they throw that out to people. But they don't finish the part of the Lord's Prayer. On earth as it is in heaven, right? That's been weaponized and abused when we say to people that just are at their wit's end, well, God's will be done. No. On earth as it is in heaven, folks. Finish the whole thing. Because the God who is love does not will for illness or cancer to take a life. The God who is love does not will for accidents that injure or kill. That's the type of insinuation and abuse that can destroy a person's faith, which understandably gets them to reject all of this because they're not presented with the God who is love. They're presented with then a God who is hurtful, indifferent, or an absentee landlord at best. We pray because God loves us and God desires to bless God's children. It might not be what we want. It might not be simply to just have the strength to endure. But it's about listening to how God might want to bless us in the midst of a situation that seems hopeless, or the conclusion seems to be set, sealed, shut, set in stone. God is still speaking to us. God still wants to bless each and every one of us. Because we are people that believe in the promise of death and resurrection. Where is God speaking to us? Where are the new blessings that can be seen? Where is new life to be experienced? See, if we just don't get what we want and turn away, we're not opening our eyes. We're no longer listening. We're no longer part of that conversation. We don't always get what we want, but we get what we need. How many of us would be really disappointed in life if we always got what we wanted? Right? But God always gives us what we need. Trust in that identity. Trust in that belonging that we heard in Colossians today. When you were buried with him in baptism, you were also raised with him through faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. We belong to God. We are God's beloved. And God wants to bless us always. And God is calling us to be persistent in prayer. May we have faith that prayer does not simply change things. But it does change things, but not through the magical ways that we might envision it or the way popular culture envisions it. May we not look at prayer as just being resigned to a predetermined future. But let's look at prayer first and foremost, trusting in our God in Christ Jesus, that it is that love that binds us together. It is that love that's at the heart and foundation of our prayer life that changes things. It's grounded in that love. Love poured out for us on the cross transformed the whole world. Love poured out on the cross transforms you and me. This divine love cannot be broken. This divine love, we cannot be separated from it. And Jesus is teaching us to pray here with that love in mind. A God who wants to feed us daily. A God who wants God's kingdom to be a reality today. A God who wants to remind us of the forgiveness we have, that when we fall short and make mistakes, we have that forgiveness so that we can continue to move forward in this world. And that we would be saved from the time of trial, again, so that we are free to move forward in this world and see how God is blessing us today and not shackled to the burdens of yesterday. This is the love that we've received. This is the love that God wants to remind us about. And this is the love that we're invited to embody and share. Prayer is conversing with a loving parent, and it's entering into that divine economy of God's love. And we know that this love is meant to be shared and not simply contained to ourselves. So when Jesus is teaching us to pray here, the foundation of our prayer life is to trust in that love of God that wants to first and foremost bless us. And when we ground our prayer in that love of God, then we're going to love like God in this world. We're going to pray each day to how someone can bless us and how we can be a blessing to others. We're going to be open in our mind and heart to see God's blessings in this world in a new way. And if we're persistent in this endeavor of prayer, we will see many things change in this world, because that is precisely what God's love does. It changes things in this world and in the world to come. May we always be persistent in our life of prayer, grounded first and foremost in the God who is love and this God who loves us. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise as you're able.
say what we believe.
In the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Trusting in God's extraordinary love, let us come near to the Holy One in prayer. Rooted and built up in Christ, we pray for the church, embolden church leaders to take risks for the sake of the gospel, and equip the baptized to proclaim your extravagant love for the whole world. Merciful God, receive our prayer. We pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Adam, our pastor and conference dean, all pastors, deacons, our Stephen ministry, and all who minister in Christ, and for all the holy people of God. Merciful God, rejoicing in the works of your hands, we pray for the natural world. Make rivers and lakes, oceans and all waterways, sparkle with your radiance. Protect water sources and strengthen those who defend them. Merciful God, interceding on behalf of the vulnerable, we pray for the peoples of the world. Inspire all rulers and governing authorities with your justice. Guide the work of legislators and public officials, that they advocate for the well-being of those they serve. Merciful God, persistent in prayer, we pray to our neighbors in need. To all who have hunger, give daily bread. To all who have bread, give hunger for justice. Open us to the cries of those who suffer, especially Tracy, Scott, Amber, Vincent, Pat, Debbie, Candace, Stan, Barb, Jasmine, Pete, Cheryl, George, Lucas, John, Cindy, Leah, Carol, and our homebound. Merciful God, abounding in thanksgiving, we pray for this congregation. Bless the prayer and fellowship ministries in this place. Call us together in times of praise and blessing, trouble and sorrow, in your holy name. Merciful God. Holy God, we pray for those in our armed services, especially Cade and Luke, and their chaplains. Merciful God. Buried with Christ in baptism and raised with him to new life, we give thanks for your saints who rest in your eternal presence. Join our voices with theirs as we sing of your great glory. Merciful God,
receive these prayers of your children, merciful God, and hold us forever in your steadfast love. Through Jesus Christ, our holy wisdom. The peace of Christ be with you always. You may be seated. We continue with the offering.
Let us pray. God of all creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your heart. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. You may be seated. At this time, I'd like to invite forward anyone who's participating in Children's Church helping with the sacrament. Distribution of the sacrament of Holy Communion. Distribution of the sacrament will be continuous. I will be in the center aisle with the consecrated hosts. There will be chalices of consecrated wine on both sides. If you desire grape juice, they'll be on the pulpit side. An usher will release you forward with trays of glass cups. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here and he offers himself to you. Please rise. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you, keep you in his grace.
Gracious God, in this meal you have drawn us to your heart and nourished us at your table with food and drink, the body and blood of Christ. Now send us forth to be your people in the world and to proclaim your truth this day and evermore. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.